Oftentimes when you're studying the Bible, you find yourself living through the story you're studying and your own life experience, and it causes you to realize that all things do work together for good, that God gives us experiences and moments in our lives to teach us particular principles and to reinforce our understanding and our learning. And certainly that was the case this week, for during this week I had the privilege of being able to interact with several different folks. In fact, on Sunday evening, a sweet young lady, a friend of mine, went to be with the Lord. She'd been battling since she was 19 years old, hepatitis and what the effects of a bad blood transfusion, and ultimately went through surgery a month ago, and as a result of that month-long of surgery, took her last breath this past Sunday evening. It's interesting about her life story, though, because at 19 years old, she could have easily been the victim and spent her entire life being angry with the world and upset with everyone that she knew and always having an opinion about every issue. But instead, she made a simple choice. She made the choice to upset her world by living out her faith in the midst of her adversity. So adversity didn't get in the way of her journey at all. It instead allowed her to define her future, because she realized that if her body and her heart quit beating, her spirit would live forever with God. And so she made a choice. She would work hard. Even though she never felt good, she would work hard. In fact, she would take two jobs and then take a third job on at times to make sure everything was taken care of. And whether she didn't have the strength even to walk down an aisle way at the grocery store, she always had the strength to trust that God would watch over. Then on Friday, I found myself messaging with a young lady who was born in a poverty-stricken village in Romania. When she was 7 years old, her father walked away, and she never heard from him again. She's 25 now. 18 years have passed. But in 2010, this girl, living in abject poverty and great despair, found herself in a service, just like we are gathered together today in this service. Found herself in a service, and in that service, she heard that there was one thing that could change your world, and that was a faith encounter with Jesus. She gave her heart to Christ. And she began to write on these messaging and back and forth. This girl who'd never had seen a smile until 2010 now is smiling every moment of her life because her world has been upset by a faith in Christ. And today, as you think about your own life, it's easy for us to want everything to kind of rock along like it is. And yet the reality is that each one of us have a responsibility to take our world, put it in the hands of God, and let Him turn it upside down. What would it be like if every one of us gathered in this particular room would find ourselves so connected to God's purpose that it changed the way we look at things? It changed the very focus and the very essence of our story. It allowed us to experience something we never dreamed possible. You'll discover today as we look inside of God's Word that adversity didn't stop the Apostle Paul. Opposition didn't stop the Apostle Paul. Jealousy didn't stop the Apostle Paul. People being angry didn't stop his mission. The reality is that God had a plan and a mission and a purpose to carry him through everything that he would face. And so today, we come to your story. For each one of you, depending on how old you are, your story is unfolding. None of us know how many chapters, but each one of our stories is the unfolding story of the miraculous plan of God for anyone who would choose to follow that plan. And as the story unfolds, what do we discover quickly? We discover in our life story, just like you discover in your story, that in our story, there are chapters that are difficult. There are other chapters that are really good. See, for some of you, you may be just like that young girl who's 25 years old now. You may have been rejected by your dad or your mom. May have been rejected by someone else. But the reality is your story didn't stop right there, because that was just one chapter in all of God's perfect plan, and all things work together for good for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so all of a sudden we find ourselves in church today and we ask ourselves, well, it sounds like to me that the girl who had got hepatitis, not of any fault of her own, but made a choice to live out her faith, she had a transformed life. And it sounds like to me that the girl who was born in abject poverty in another land is now rich in faith. And what you discover, the answer to both those questions is yes. But then you ask yourself the question, what does it take to transform a life? And today we get back to simplicity, back to the simplicity of the real story of what really makes our lives have meaning and have purpose. Because today we look at what happens when Paul shows up at a place called Thessalonica. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you realize something. This place called Thessalonica ended up taking a very, very special part of Paul's heart with him. Even though he was run out of town after 3 weeks, they ended up shaping the way his life would unfold. And it may very well be that today is a day in which your life will unfold and be shaped in a new, amazing way. It may very well be that today you'll look at your own life and maybe you will ask yourself the question, I've been informed and I've been educated, but have I ever been inspired and transformed? Because what you're going to see today is that when Paul ends up at Thessalonica, he ends up becoming a source of information and education. He becomes a source of inspiration and ultimately transformation for those who would make that choice. And so in your own life today, I want you to think about what it would be like if you turned your world upside down. You may be sitting there saying, I'm not sure I want that. My world right now exists pretty well. I function. I move things forward. That's not the world we're talking about here. We're talking about the world that's defined by God and how he begins to grab hold of every step of your journey and guide every moment of your thought process. In this room, there are miraculous stories all over this room. Stories, if they were to come up and tell their story right now, you'd just be astonished at what they were able to walk away from because of what Jesus has done. Because what we discover is anybody who walks towards Jesus experiences the most amazing transformation of their entire life. And then they begin to have the capacity to upset the world. Wouldn't you love at the end of your journey to be able to say, I upset the world. I changed the world. Today we'll look inside of what it means to upset the world. Because the reality is we were all born and called by God to accomplish something absolutely amazing. But sometimes it takes little moments in our story to unfold in order for us to see what it is he wants to do in each one of our lives. So I challenge you to think about that. But then I want you to ask yourself, when you think about people that you had in your life, I mean, folks have come your way. When you consider someone who has a transformed life, who comes to mind? Who do you think of? Who do you all of a sudden think, you know what, that person, they live upsetting the world. They live for a higher purpose. I think about a little boy who is a 15-year-old kid in another country who got inspired because Chester and Rudy and Eddie and others and George, they started living out the upside-down life. I was messaging with him as well this weekend and late on Friday night, and I finally got the point. I said, tell me, what will you do with your life? He said, well, I'll be a missionary. You know why he wants to be a missionary? Because he saw people living out the missionary life, and it made more sense to him than the world that he was living in. And you see, as we live our lives, it's absolutely essential for us to think about those who are living out that transformed life. Because I want you to see in this passage, and if you have your Bible, open to Acts chapter 17. If you don't have your Bible with you, there's one in the chair pocket in front of you, and you're welcome to look along as we look at chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And as we look there, I want us to take a moment, and I want us to look inside of verse 6 just for a moment, and then I want to share a principle that I hope will help you as we think about our own journey. In chapter 17 and verse 6, I want you to notice the people who are not in a relationship with Christ. The Bible says they went to find Paul and Silas. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. But don't miss what it says in verse 7 there. And Jason has welcomed them. Jason only shows up one time in the Bible. But his name is connected to those who have upset the world. What an amazing, amazing connection point. I want to ask you a question. Wouldn't you love your name to be connected to something that was absolutely amazing? You know, every year they'll have the hot dog eating contest. You probably have seen that, where those guys can eat those hot dogs. And even girls are doing it now. Amazing. And when the bell clicks, they still got lots of hot dog in their mouth. You've seen the pictures. They're just right there. And every summer, I'll watch that. And I'll sit and say to myself, they feel so excited about their name being that they ate 45 hot dogs. I mean, can you imagine if that was your only claim to fame? On your tombstone was etched 45 dogs. I mean, that was it. I mean, wouldn't you for a moment go, maybe I had something bigger in life to live for? Some higher purpose? Some greater meaning? And I'm going to tell you, Jason, if Jason's name would have been associated with something like a hot dog eating contest, it would have been of no consequence. In fact, by the way, Jason's name would not have shown up in the Bible if it was connected to a hot dog eating contest. But instead, it was connected to someone who upset the world. What would it be like if your name is connected to the moment in which somebody else's world has changed and you transform your world? That's what we see as we look inside of this passage. Jason, the Bible says, not only was with those who upset the world, he welcomed them. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you welcomed somebody into your life that had the capacity to turn you upside down, to change the way you look at life? That's what Jesus intends to do in all of our lives. But today we find ourselves at this passage, and it's a unique passage because what has Paul just come out of? Paul, in the 16th chapter, he's been at Philippi. There have been some really challenging moments. He's been thrown in jail. He's been beaten. And the 40th verse of chapter 16 says that he goes to Lydia's house, the first one who came to know Christ, who was transformed. He goes to her house to be encouraged. We ought to take great comfort in that, in knowing that Lydia not only heard the story, but she lived it. And God says that, and the Bible says that he was encouraged by them. And then in the 70th chapter, he goes and he moves from there to Thessalonica. And what I want you to see by way of principle as you look at this passage is that our lives as pictures of transformation, when you think about it, if people can see our picture of who we are, and as we begin to live them, we've got to show the world. We've got to show the world that in our lives, there's the real meaning of one thing that is the deal changer of all those who change the world and turn it upside down, and that is the resurrection. See, our lives as a picture of transformation ought to anchor everyone back to one simple part of the story, and that is the resurrection. And what you're going to see today is oftentimes we'll find ourselves trying to figure out how can I feel better about something, when in reality, it's not about how we feel. In reality, it's about who we know and what he has done for our lives. And so today I want you to think about what our real story is all about, because here's what you discover. All of our stories that upset the world are centered in the resurrection. Our life story is all about the resurrection, because the resurrection is the key to our story. How do we know that? Because Paul finds himself in dialogue with those who have come into his life by way of his encounter with them in the synagogue, and he begins to convey to them a story. And I heard this saying, this quote 2 weeks ago that has really motivated me to think about how we live our lives. Listen to this quote. This is what it said. We will move forward when our hope for the future is greater than the stories of our past. We'll move forward when the hope for our future is greater than the stories of our past. If you're young here, you may be saying, well, you know what? My future's really bright. I don't have many stories. I just have a few stories. For some of you who perhaps are my age, you realize you got a lot of stories. But the reality, here's what I learned out of that quote. We all want to move forward, don't we? And we all want the hope for our future. And our future is anchored in the resurrection. So let's begin reading if we go into chapter 17. And what I want today to do is just to challenge you in two ways. First of all, I want to show you how Paul made a difference in people's lives by upsetting the world. And then I want to show you what happens with a human response to the gospel. Just two things that I want you to see. Because if you're here today, you will find yourself in one of these four points of discovery, if not all of them. Because in chapter 1, we find the story unfolding. And let's look and begin reading, if we could, in chapter 17 of the book of Acts. Now, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them. And for three Sabbaths, number 3 weeks, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out of the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also, and Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." They stirred up the crowd, and the city's authorities heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. Now, when you read this, you immediately realize something. The city authorities obviously had heard what transpired in the 16th chapter when Paul was at Philippi. He's only 100 miles away from where he was 3 days prior, which tells you something. He got there quickly in order to declare the truth. He got to moving fast. And the name of our series, the entire summer, is Move, Putting Your Faith in Action. And what you discover is all of us need to move and get moving with what it is God has for it. We don't need to spend our lives wondering what we might do or could have done or should have done. We need to act on it and say, you know what, I'm going to do it. And listen carefully. You're going to discover today, by the time we finish, that if you allow feelings to govern the way you process what it is you're about, then your hope for the future will diminish greatly. But if you allow the resurrection to be the source of your motivation that stirs your heart, you're going to discover something. You're going to discover that God has something amazing in store for you. So let's look at this, because Paul finds himself at Thessalonica, and he finds himself in a dialogue with those who, and when it says reason there, and it really means the dialogue, to have a conversation, and there are four steps in the process that leads to transformation that I want you to see. The first one we see is, and I want you to learn this because this will help you in the process of life. Because if you want to upset the world, you've got to get to stage four. Stage one is this: information. Notice what he does here. The Bible says in verse 2 that he gathers them together and he began to reason with them from the scripture. He began to basically say, this is what you need to know. It was basic core information, stuff that was obviously, evidently critical for them to grab hold of, but it wouldn't change their lives. He began to dialogue with them. He began to say to them, you know what? Let me tell you what I have seen God do. And he gave them information. But it didn't stop there. Because after he gave them information, the Bible clearly says that he went from that to notice what happened. In fact, look at verse 3 there and notice what he begins to do. Explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer. Here, he begins to elevate the process of discovery and he begins to give them an opportunity to be educated. Here he begins the process of education. In other words, he starts telling them, this is what you should know, that Jesus had to suffer in order for you to have an opportunity. Jesus had to go to the cross. He begins to educate. And you see, the truth of the matter is, in our lives, we all need information. We all need education. But that is not where it must stop. It has to go beyond that. Because listen carefully. You can educate, but if you don't inspire and they're not transformed, then you have not accomplished your mission, because you're supposed to upset the world. So what does he do? Look at that verse 3, latter part of that verse. He shared with them that he had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying that this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. What does he do here? He comes to that third stage of discovery. He begins to inspire them. And here's what he said. This guy I'm telling you about, he is the Christ. He's the answer for what you're looking for. He's the hope of all glory. He's the meaning and purpose that you long for in life. He's everything. Can you imagine how inspiring it must have been to sit and talk to Paul? You ever have a conversation with somebody who inspires you? I have a missionary friend who is involved in a lot of different mission stuff all over the world, and he didn't even realize how much he inspires me. But when I sit and talk to him, two weeks ago, I had a chance to have lunch with him, and I was talking to him and visiting with him and hearing him share. And as he began to tell certain choices he made very early on in life, he had made a decision, and his decision was that I'm going to live to make an indelible impression on the world, and I'm going to make sure I don't miss my moment. Well, he found himself in a dialogue with Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and who's been with the Lord for several years now. And in the dialogue, he began to tell Bill Bright, this is what I'm going to do when I retire. Bill Bright looks at him and he says, why would you wait till you retire? Why don't you do it now? Why don't you make this choice now? He made the choice. He's trained, I believe, 20,000 pastors in the Far East. He's involved in an emphasis called the Billion Soul Initiative, in which there are 40 leaders in the world who made a choice that they would win a billion people to Jesus in their lifetime. Wrap your hands around that for a moment. What do we do at times? What inspires us? We can get inspired by a good watermelon or a cup of yogurt. Both those things happened to me yesterday. Both very inspiring. But this guy made a choice to live beyond himself and do something amazing. Paul made the same choice. I want to ask you, who do you inspire? Who gets excited about who you are? For some of you, you may have a primary assignment of one child or two children or three children who, if they see Jesus and the resurrection in you, they'll follow it. But it may go beyond that. And what he does, he begins to tell them, this is the story. This is how it all works. He is the Christ. He's the answer. But I want you to see what happens because transformation occurred for some of them, which is what we're looking at today. What happens when somebody gets transformed? And notice how the text writes. Look at verse 4. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. Transformation. The Bible said some were persuaded and joined. In other words, they didn't want to sit on the sideline of life. They saw that God had something for them, and it grabbed hold of them, and it took them places they never dreamed they would go. You see, all of us have people who inspire us. And what happens here is these people are inspired by what they hear Paul saying. By the way, it's very difficult for anyone to experience transformation if you don't persuade and you don't share. When you look at that old idea of persuading, in other words, conveying a message that really has the potential to change your life. That's really what it's all about. And you know, what happens to us, oftentimes we get caught up in the minutiae of life and we do not get into those transforming dialogues that can have the potential to change the world, change the life of those that we encounter, So I want to ask you today, when it comes to discovery, everyone sitting here has the privilege of being able to be informed. You've seen what Paul, he informed. I've informed you today that Paul didn't let anything get in his way. In fact, his obstacles were his absolute affirmation that God was going to do something in his life. What about you? Are your obstacles affirmations for you? Or are they stumbling blocks? Do they get in your way or do they move you forward? Not only did he discover that he could share information, but he also realized he could educate them. He could tell them, you know what? This is who Jesus is. This is what he does. And as a result of that, some of them got very inspired. Paul was inspired because this is the Christ. And as a result of his inspiration, he ended up seeing many of them. The Bible says many of them came to faith. Now, how do we know that what he did was transformational? I'll show you at the end of the message because I'm going to tell you to discover. If you read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you're going to discover these people were transformed. They were transformed. But you look at this passage and you realize, as much as they were transformed, there was the other side of the coin. I want to look at that for just a moment because here's the human side of the gospel. Because you may be sitting there saying, well, it doesn't sound like everybody grabbed hold of it. And they didn't. On the human side, it was a direct opposite. On the spiritual side, people were so excited and thrilled by it. On the human side, it was absolutely the opposite of what transpired. And I want you just to see it because I want you to see something. On the side of life that is not transformational, there's nothing good. In fact, I can't imagine living without Jesus in control of my life. I can't imagine without waking up like I did this morning, thanking him for another night of rest and anticipating what he was going to do today. I don't know if you did that, but this morning when I woke up, I thought, this is the day the Lord's made. It took about 10 minutes of snoozing for me to realize it was a good day. I don't know if you have a snooze button, but I sometimes have to say, Lord, in just a few more minutes to know that you're with me, and I'll hit that button. But eventually I'll wake up, and when I do wake up, I go from snoozing to praising because I love the fact that life is vibrantly connected to his purpose. I can't imagine any moment in my life where I've watched God do more than right now. In all of your lives, in lives of people everywhere that I meet, I'm blessed to see God at work. And what you discover is, on that side of life, it's amazing. In fact, if you're here today, you'll notice that the Bible says they were persuaded and they joined. Had a young man join our fellowship today in the first service, and it may very well be you're here today. And you have been coming for a long time, but you've never been persuaded to join. And I want to invite you today to join this fellowship and commit yourself to what we're up to. Move beyond yourself. Move beyond all your reasoning and say, you know what? I want to experience what God has. You know who you are. Let's see what God does with your life. But look at the human response to the gospel. Because what happened in verse 5 is it's obviously not pretty. Look at verse 5. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. What's the first human response to the gospel? Jealousy and wickedness. Now I want to ask you a question. If you go back to Jesus and his trial, when Jesus is put before the people, do they ask for a really kind of nice guy to have an option to pick from? Or do they say, would you like Barabbas, who is as wicked as they come? Or would you like Jesus, who's absolutely perfect? And what do they say? Give us Barabbas. So what do these leaders do? They go to the marketplace and they find a couple thieves, a couple people who love to stir things up. 2-3 weeks ago, I got kissed on the cheek by a former leader of a gang. This man was the meanest man in his entire village. Kissed me on the cheek. Said he'd spent his whole life wishing he could kiss his own father on his cheek. His father left him. Made him jealous, made him angry. He became the meanest man in his village. But Jesus got a hold and transformed him. And when that big man hugged me, he hugged me with a transforming power that conquers jealousy and wickedness. What do these people do? They go get somebody mean. Hey, let's go in here and let's take hold of this village. Let's take hold of this situation. Let's take hold of what's happening with Paul and Silas. Let's take them out of here. What's interesting to me, when you look at this text, Paul and Silas were not even there. They went to the wrong house. They couldn't find Paul and Silas, which tells you something. God's always orchestrating the steps of those who are children, every step that we take. But not only was it jealousy and wickedness, but then what does the Bible say in verse 5? It says they began attacking Jason's house. And why would they go at his house like that? Because here was somebody who represented what God is up to. And what I want you to see is on the human side of the gospel, it really gets personal quick. It gets personal real quick. And what you and I need to see is, why would we ever want to be on the wicked side of the human response to the gospel when we can experience what God has for us as he supernaturally watches over us? Now, not only do you see that, but you also see in verse 6, why were they dragging them around? These men who have upset the world have come here also, and Jesus has welcomed them. Why would they say they upset the world? Because the declaration of truth had the capacity to transform the lives, the Bible says, of a bunch of people. And so here is all of a sudden a declaration of truth that says, you know what, this is what upsets the world. Which, by the way, you want to upset somebody who's trying to figure out life on their own terms? Quote from this book. Bring this to the story. And you know what, I've had people say to me, don't bring that Bible into this. Let me just tell you what I do. I said, not only am I going to bring it in, I'm going to live it, and I'm going to share it, and I'm going to challenge you with it. Because the Bible is the only key. I mean, I had someone say to me, you're using that book to cause me to feel bad about myself. And I looked at that person and said, absolutely right. Because we ought to always let the Word of God rightly divide the Word of truth. That's what what that sword of the Spirit's all about. So they declared the truth. But then I just want you sometimes we read this passage, we might miss it. But the Bible says that they stirred up, the verse 8, they stirred up the crowd and city authorities heard these things, and when they received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. Always remember this, God's protective hand is always there for us. It's always there. Did Paul and Silas get hurt? No, they went on to Berea. You're going to see that next week. They went on to Berea. Did Jason get hurt? No, you know what he said to them? Hey, guess what? They're not here anymore. See ya. But who was there? Jesus was there. And that's what causes us to see. Well, you have to ask yourself the question. 9 verses in a missionary journey, was there an impact that changed the world? Open your Bible, turn back to your right to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see this firsthand, okay? Now remember, we are people of this book. So we begin and end our story with what this book says and what it has to say to each one of our lives. So I want you to begin in chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, I'm just going to walk you through this very quickly, but I want to show you something. Did they upset the world and did it last? That's the question. Chapter 1, verse 8. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth. Notice this line. So that we have no need to say anything. What does he say here first? We don't have to say a single word. God has done something amazing with you. Your faith has changed the world. And may it be said of us, no matter how long we live, that our faith changes the world. That's what he was trying to say. We don't have to say anything. Everywhere you go, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And the reality is all of our stories connect into one single person, that is Jesus. All of our life experiences. Look on to chapter 2. Look at verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And you are witnesses, and so is God. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Does that not connect you back into what transpired in Acts chapter 17? Look on over at chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before our God on your account? Don't you want people to be able to thank God for you? Look on, though. Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Look on down, chapter 4, verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Look at verse 13 of the same chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the ones or the rest who have no hope. And then finally, chapter 5, verse 24, notice what it says. Faithful. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Here's what you got to ask yourself as we wrap this together today. Here are Paul's words to a church that 3 weeks of impact caused him to write, we have no need to speak of your faith. We have no need to speak of your love. We have no need to speak of your joy because you have been the essence of our story. You've inspired and upset the world. You've taken the message from here and taken it all over wherever you go. You see, that's what makes us uniquely connected as one heart. It is our responsibility to take the gospel from here to the next place, to the next town and the next neighborhood and the next home. You got to look at it and say, you know what? How am I going to upset the world? It begins with a commitment that says I want to live a transformed life. And as I live a transformed life, I can live out what Thessalonians says. We have no need to talk about your joy. We have no need to talk about what it is that you have in your life. You've lived it out. What would it be like today if some of you are here that know you need to be baptized, you've never followed in obedience, the immediacy of baptism, but all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I don't want to be baptized. I want to act in obedience to what God has for me. What would it be like if some of you were here and you realize, you know what, you need to plant your life in a place that will challenge you to live to the high standard of the Word of God? For some of you have been visiting a while, your family, your children involved here, you need to commit yourself to what's going on. God knows. God knows that if you read the story, it'll change your life. And it's my desire to challenge you to live for a greater purpose than yourself every single week. And I pray that you'll go out of here today going, you know what? I want to upset the world. I want to upset the world. I want to change the world that I live in. And it begins in each one of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Speaks to who we are and changes the way we live. Lord, we ask you to move during these moments. It may well be that someone is here. When they hear this song, when I think about your love, it'll cause them to commit themselves to your purpose. It may be that some are here and they realize that they need to be on the front line fighting the battle. They need to be in obedience to what it is you have for their life. And as a result, they say yes to you. Lord, this invitation today is an opportunity. I think about there's several young couples here that need to become a part of this family. They've been visiting long enough to know what we live for, what we believe, who we are, what we intend to do. And Lord, we do intend to upset the world. We intend to take a message of hope to people who are hopeless. To those who are discouraged, we want to offer encouragement. To those who are unloved, we want to offer love. To those who are looking for an answer, we want to answer their question with you. And so, Lord, I pray you'd move during these moments. Bless us as we respond. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.